Hello, everyone. Welcome back to this episode of the Extra Point Podcast. Glad you're tuning in. My name's Todd, one of the pastors at First Family Church. Today is Wednesday, October 15th. You're right. Normally, we come to you on the Tuesday of each week, but we had some technical difficulties yesterday, just recording issues that we couldn't seem to figure out there on yesterday. So making this just one day later. So today's Wednesday, October 15th. But still glad to get with you, and thanks for jumping on board the Extra Point Podcast. You know, I haven't said this in a while, but just to remind all of our listeners, I know we have many new ones, the Extra Point Podcast is really designed to take a look back at last week's text/topic, the scripture in which we were involved with on Sunday, and then to bring some further observation, some deeper application, those types of things to our listeners and to those who were there, as well as those who are watching online or listening online later. So that's the point of the Extra Point Podcast. And so I'm glad you're listening today. And we want to bring some additional insight and answer some questions that came in from our time in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 last Sunday. We're taking 2 weeks at First Family Church to examine generosity. Our two-week series is called Transformational Generosity, and I want to mention one data point as I begin, and then I want to answer two questions. The first one, is 10% required? And the second one, how do you calculate tithing in retirement? I'll answer those two questions, bring some insight there, but first, an interesting data point concerning churches in the Midwest. As we were gearing up for this series and doing some background research and analyzing several factors, our team brought to me this interesting information that in the Midwest, which let's say it's 7, 8, 9 states, you know, give or take a couple here and there, but in this Midwest region, churches that run about 1,000, which is where we are, we're a multi-site church running about 1,000, churches like that in the Midwest, their annual budget is about $2.9 million. So that's a normative data point for churches like ours. Our budget is about a 2.1, 2.2, maybe this coming year, 2.3. And so from a data perspective, from a simply factual examination, we're going to be probably $600,000 to $700,000 shy of what would be considered normative for churches like ours in this part of the country. Now, that's not to play the comparison game and thus to make people feel guilty. That's not my point. Because you could look at that data in multiple ways, two of which are these. You could say we're very thrifty. We get a lot done, Lord willing, for less dollars. You could say we're kind of lean. That may very well be true. I've always said about our people that we're pretty gritty, and I think that is a healthy part of our culture. But you could also say this, is there a greater depth of generosity that we've yet to experience within our body? Because more than likely, we're not that different than churches like ours throughout this part of the country. There's probably a lot more commonalities than there would be differences. And so knowing that the average budget for churches like ours in this part of the country is a good $600,000 to $700,000 more per year, we should at least ask ourselves, is there an aspect of generosity that perhaps we're missing? It may be that perhaps we're not discussing it enough. It may be that perhaps maybe our people aren't as generous as we think they are. Maybe we're not giving to a certain kind of level that would allow us to accomplish more. Who knows? It may just be that we're really thrifty and lean. Maybe the Lord's using that in ways that are multiplying his work without the necessary and more dollars. But there's a lot of ways you can see it. I'm just simply bringing that to you because often data points can be ways to learn about issues without a lot of emotion involved. Now, admittedly, they can breed emotion if you use them wrongly. So I don't want to use it as a pry bar. I'm not trying to corner anyone or make someone feel guilty, including myself. I'm not doing that to any of us. I'm simply asking the questions. One of them is this: what does it mean if we are, you know, 500,000 plus shy of what is considered, at least statistically, a normative budget for churches our size in this part of the country. What does it say to us? What can we learn from it? And so I think I want you to ponder that, think about it, especially in light of what we asked Sunday, which was, could you move to the right, regardless of your giving pattern? And I think there were three types of patterns we mentioned. There are those who have yet to give anything, those who give sporadically, and then those who give regularly and generously. If you've yet to give anything, start giving. So move to the right in that way by beginning. If you're giving sporadically, just begin to give regularly. And so move to the right in that way. And if you're giving regularly and generously, can you move to the right and increase your generosity by reexamining your giving patterns, your amounts, your frequency? So I think all of us, just from a factual, honest point of view, could examine our giving. And perhaps in that one step, maybe we would move as a church to the right, so to speak, and find ourselves more closely aligned with what is considered from a factual data perspective, normative in regards to church budgets. So just keep that in mind, just a data point for you to think about. And let me take some time now to bring some insight into these two questions that came about as a result of our time together in 2 Corinthians 9 last Sunday. The first question was this: is 10% required? It's been a constant question that we've had throughout our 22-year history. It's not an uncommon question across Christendom. And I want to say to you that there are various opinions on this. Some believe 10% is an actual required command, just as it was in the Old Testament for God's people. It remains so in this new covenant time period for God's people, that 10% is what's commanded. It's required. And to do anything less is disobedience. It's sin. That is a perspective. And there's scriptural reasons that they have for that. The other is that it's not required as in a command, but it's a genuinely good place to start. I often say it's the precedent place to start because it seems to be what was expected in the Old Testament. I don't believe it's a required command in this new covenant time, primarily because of two reasons. One is Christ fulfilled all the law when he died and rose again. Now, other parts of the law that were affected in the same way, we won't go into great depth here about how the law can be viewed and what aspects of the law were fulfilled, but things such as the Sabbath, those types of things, we see the law and all the promises pertaining to the Old Covenant as fulfilled in Christ. The second reason is that there are two passages in which the principle in play, I believe, is that we're to decide in our heart, we're to have an intentional, prayerful, Holy Spirit-led decision-making process regarding our giving. And so we're to purpose in our heart, or we're to set aside a sum of money in keeping with our income. So one of those is 1 Corinthians 16. The other is 2 Corinthians, I believe it is chapter 9. We look at it Sunday. I put a lot of weight into those two passages, and along with the fact that Christ fulfilled all of the law, I think the New Testament model is generosity and sacrifice. So I would hold that sacrificial giving is the New Testament model, and a specific number is not attached in the sense of a command. Now, I want to admit to you, I could be wrong about that. I have really close friends, relatives, who hold to tithing as a command. They may be right. On the other hand, I could be right and they could be wrong. It's an area that we could disagree on, still maintain great fellowship. I've given you my reasoning for my beliefs. So I would say to you, from my personal perspective, to answer the question, is 10% required? No, but a higher level is, and that is sacrificial, generous giving. And personally, I think that's probably a deeper, higher, greater standard. It means we have to examine our giving on a regular basis. It means we need to, and I'll use this word as I did Sunday, we need to feel the effects of our giving so that it is sacrificial, not something so rote that we never think about it. Though I am a fan of intentional, purposeful, disciplined giving. So there's a sense in which it is automated in some way because you're thinking through it ahead of time and it's a planned event, so to speak. I also think that that planned event can be on a regular basis, something that you feel the weight of. In other words, it is sacrificial. It's generous to the point where you just can't overlook it. And so I would maintain that what's expected in the New Testament is deeper, greater, and more challenging in that sense. It's sacrificial, generous giving. And so I encourage our people, start with 10% and keep going to the right, or keep increasing your giving as the Holy Spirit leads, through prayer and careful examination, through intentional decision-making with the Lord's Spirit prompting you. How can you be a sacrificial, generous giver? That's what I feel is the New Testament standard, in contrast perhaps to a specific number, i.e. 10% or the tithe. I think that's the place to start as you begin to live a generous life in light of the New Testament passages. Question number two is this: how do we calculate tithing in retirement? And this is a really good question. One of our couples just sent this to me and said, hey, we have a pretty strong giving plan. And I know this couple, they really do. They love Jesus. They're following the Lord so closely, really involved in discipling others. I have no doubt that they're very generous, but they did talk about helping others, even thinking about their small group and conversations. And they just said, how do you calculate tithing in retirement? So my sense is that perhaps they would be in the category of thinking and believing that 10% is a requirement. And if so, hallelujah, great for them. And so they're wondering, how do you do that in retirement? And I think the heart of the question, as I read through their email multiple times, they're thinking through things like, we've already tithed on a lot of the income that now we're receiving dividends from. So let's say it's investments. So they're getting some return from that. Then there's also Social Security. And so they've paid taxes and tithed on what they, you know, put in, so to speak. Now they're getting some things in return from that. How do they calculate that? And so I think there's some honest questions from a financial point of view. They are pretty technical. They can be, I wouldn't use the word picky. I think they can be specific. I'll use that word. And they're just wanting some honest answers about how do you approach this in a time of your life where you're not necessarily earning money, you're receiving dividends and returns from money you've already paid taxes on and you've given tithes on that is now being returned to you in some fashion. So I'm not a financial expert. I'm not retired yet, but let me give you three options that I think could be helpful. And I'll tell you where I would probably land at this point in my thinking through this. I think you could, first of all, give off of your Social Security income. It may be that some of that income, you're right, technically has already been taxed as well as tithed on. That's true. But you could still consider that your income. It's what you're receiving on a regular basis. You could just see that as your income and then tithe off of that. And I use that word because that's the word they used in their question. So I want to stick with their question and try to answer it in that fashion. You could just see the income that you're receiving in your Social Security as the income that you now are earning, and you could tithe off of that. A second option would be to simply tithe off the interest. You could even say the dividends or the return of your investments. And so there you would not calculate your investments. You would simply say, hey, this month or this year, and it depends on when you receive your dividends and your returns, but you could simply tithe off of those and consider that a factually specific way to calculate your retirement tithing. Whatever your investments are and whatever then those returns are, you would tithe off of those dividends. The third option would be to look at all of your Social Security, your investments, their returns, your savings. Just you can look at your retirement portfolio, we'll call it. And you could ask yourself, in light of this amount of financial resources that God has blessed me with, what's a generous, regular way to give from it? And you can simply decide in your heart and purpose in your heart what is a generous amount, and with the Holy Spirit's leading and then with agreement between you and your spouse, you can make that your giving number and just decide that, be generous with it, and then give that to and through your local church. So that's one way, the third way to do that. I probably would land on the third option as the way I would do it if I were in their shoes. Again, I'm not, so I want to speak very humbly here. There's probably many things I don't know about what that time period's like, but knowing what I know now, what little bit that may be, I would probably just look at everything as one big picture and ask myself, what is a number that's in keeping with my income, 1 Corinthians 16, that I could purpose on my heart, 2 Corinthians 9, that would be generous, that I could set aside on a regular basis and give to and through my church? I probably like that because it seems to hold the largest type of perspective as well as the simplest type of perspective. And then I would go with that number and then examine that at least on an annual basis to see if that's the level of generosity that God and the Holy Spirit would lead me towards. And then I would do that on a regular basis to and through my church. So that's three ways to look at it. I've given you maybe my personal preference. Just know this, this is a difficult thing probably to manage sometimes. And I would encourage you, as this couple has already done, they assured me they've really thought about it, made a plan, and feel like they're really being generous. But they know that they get questions, that people wonder this. It's often a difficult scenario, or can I even say maybe a new situation for many folks when they retire, because it's just so different than when they were working. So here's three ways to go about it that I think are biblical, they're healthy, and you're not avoiding really pursuing a lifestyle of generosity, even when it's a different type of lifestyle in retirement. So there you have it, a data point to think about, and two questions with some insight that perhaps you agree, perhaps you disagree, have some different perspective. But I think all of these questions and, of course, the data point should keep us thinking about this primary issue. How are we being generous? And remember, the reason we want to be generous, the reason we want to pursue a generous lifestyle is because generosity is transformational. And why is it transformational? Because generosity is worship. And what we worship changes us. It transforms us. So let's keep pursuing a generous life. You heard our preaching from last Sunday. This coming Sunday, Pastor Brett will take it and he'll finish out those last few verses of 2 Corinthians 9. And I trust that we'll all together walk and learn and grow in how to be a generous Christian for the purposes of God.
Thanks for listening to the Extra Point Podcast. To find more content and resources to grow deeper in your relationship with Jesus, go online to firstfamily.church/resources.